You Dalits should demand abolition of reservation. It is harming you, it is befooling you. Sikh regiment has Jat Sikhs. And there's another regiment called Sikh Light Infantry, which has Dalit or Mazhabi Sikhs. This is your country even today. Theoretically, Islam is against caste. Prophet Muhammad said that all are equal. That is why I admire Prophet Muhammad. But these Muslims of most of India, they follow the caste system. So they are not real Muslims, they are fake Muslims. I have to kill them on their face. You have a pagri and you have a beard, but you are no Sikh. You are fake Sikhs. I don't have a pagri, I don't have a beard. But I am a real Sikh because I am a follower of Guru Nanak. But the politicians are still keeping the caste system alive artificially for getting votes. I have been asked to speak about caste reservations in India, which are for admission to educational institutions, in jobs, in legislatures and local bodies and so on. But before I speak on reservations, I would like to say something about the caste system, how it evolved, what is its reality. There are many theories about how caste came into existence. One theory is that it was because of white colored race, the Aryans conquered a dark colored race, the Dravidians. That is one theory. And certainly even today, I would like to say that generally the upper castes are fairer in complexion than, say, the Dalits. I'm not saying that there is no dark-colored Brahmin, and I'm not saying there is no fair-colored Dalit. But proportionately, I have found Dalits are generally more dark complexion than the upper castes. In fact, caste system was known at one time as Varna Vyavastha. And the word Varna is a Sanskrit word which literally means color. Varna ka matlab hai rang, color. So it really meant the color system. It had a racial basis. So that is possibly the explains the that. The origin of the caste system, it originally had a racial basis, and even today, fairer color is regarded superior to darker color in India. In matrimonial advertisement, you will see wanted fair colored bride and so on. But later, the caste system developed into the feudal occupational division of labor in society. Now, what does that mean? It means that later every vocation became a caste. Like, for example, carpenter, who was called Badhai, became a caste. Potter, Kumar became a caste. Chamar, one a cobbler, one who works with leather, chamde ka kaam kar, became a caste. Dhobi, washerman became a caste. Nai became a caste. Every vocation became a caste. You see, in feudal society, although maybe 90% people were engaged in agriculture, but there was small industry also. Of course, it was not mill industry, it was handicraft industry. But there was a degree of industry. After all, people in villages required carpenters to make cots and all, potters to store water. Water is needed in summer months particularly. and you need some leather shoes. If you go on long walking somewhere, if you're not having some shoe, then some thorn may get into your leg, or you may be stung by a snake or insect. So shoes were required. Some industrial products were also required. And those who manufactured them, they became castes, depending on which vocation they came from. You see, in feudal times, medieval times, there were no engineering colleges or technical institutes. The only way to learn some vocation or craft was to sit with your father from childhood. Supposing your father is a carpenter. You are a 5-6-year-old boy. You sit next to your father when he's working. You see how he's working. He will also give you some tips. And you, when you grow up, you will also become a carpenter. You had no right to choose your vocation. You had to follow your father's vocation, because there was no other way to learn any craft. Now see, this was not the situation in India alone. Take for example in England. In England, even today, many people have surnames like baker, butcher, mason, potter, gardener, waterman, smith, goldsmith. Thousands of people have these surnames. Taylor. What does this indicate? It indicates that the ancestors of these people were following this vocation. Today, of course, they are not following the vocation, but the surname has come down. So that means there was some caste system there also. Because after all, you had to have some vocational training. And society there also was divided on basis of vocations. You see, at one time, the caste system was a progressive institution, because it introduced a rudimentary kind of division of labor in society. As the great British economist wrote in his book called The Wealth of Nations, a very famous book written in 1776, in which he said that division of labor leads to great progress. So because caste system introduced a certain rudimentary kind of division of labor in society, it led to great economic progress. So at one time it was a good institution. But something which may be good at one time may become bad later on. Today it is a bad thing. Because you see, today in with coming of modern industry, now division of labor cannot be on the basis of birth. It has to be on the basis of technical skills. So the caste system today is totally outdated. But the politicians in India are keeping it alive to get votes. Today, see, as I said earlier, you had no option of choosing your profession. You had to follow your father's profession. But that is not the situation today. A boy, for example, who belongs to the carpenter caste, Badhai caste, he comes from the village to the city and he becomes an electrician or motor mechanic, or may become a doctor, engineer, lawyer, scientist. He's not following his father's profession. So the social basis of the caste system has already been destroyed with the advance of technology. Now people are not following their father's profession. But the politicians are still keeping the caste system alive artificially for getting votes. See, because unfortunately, as I said, in India, politics largely runs on the basis of caste and communal vote banks. And politicians, they polarize society. They rely on votes of a certain religion or certain caste. Some political parties emphasize religion. Some political parties emphasize caste. This is how the system function. So these politicians are keeping the caste system alive artificially, although, as I said, the social basis has been destroyed with the coming of technology. And that is why I said that under the parliamentary system of democracy, we cannot have progress because it runs on the basis of these feudal forces. I am totally opposed to caste reservation, and I want to tell you why. Caste-based reservation is just being used by politicians to get votes. In fact, it is greatly damaging the Dalits and the OBCs. And I will explain how. See, I am totally against caste-based reservation. But I have always said that special facilities should be given to poor boys and girls of any caste or religion. Because supposing there's a boy from a poor family. Now his father could not afford to buy textbooks for his child. Whereas there may be other boys and girls who come from rich families and their father can provide them with such textbooks. So the state should give such textbooks free to the poor people, poor boys, so that he or she gets an equal level playing field. After that, whether you use that equal level playing field or not is for you. But at least give him the opportunity by giving him the opportunity of developing his talents, his potential. So special facilities should be given to poor children of all castes and religions, even upper castes. But so far as caste reservation in educational institutions, jobs, legislature, local bodies, I'm totally opposed to it, and I want to give you my reasons. Firstly, how much percent of Dalits and OBCs get benefit of reservation? Not even 0.01%. Because how many jobs are there? How many seats in educational institutions are there? There are maybe 25 crore, 30 crore scheduled castes and maybe 60 crore OBCs. Do all of them get the benefit of reservation? Hardly 0.01%. But the illusion is created that everybody is getting the benefit of caste reservation. So it is befooling them that you will all get jobs, you will all get admission in medical college or engineering college by reservation, when hardly 0.01% will get. Because there are many, very few seats, there are very few jobs, and even that 0.01% belong mostly to the what is known as the creamy layer, which means the children of IAS officers or ministers and so on. The poor Dalit or poor OBC living in village and all, he has hardly any chance of getting any benefit of reservation, but he's befooled into thinking that reservation is a very good thing for it. So it is really taking them for a ride. Secondly, such caste reservations are doing great harm to SCs and OBCs because they act as psychological crutches and thus weakening them. An impression is created in the mind of many young Dalits and OBC that they need not study hard because in any case, because of their caste, they will get the admission or job. So it weakens them because they think that even without working hard, they will get a job or admission. So it is harming them by making them weak, by giving them a sort of besaki. You know, a crutch is called besaki in Hindi. When what I say, you people, you SCs, OBCs must throw aside these crutches, this besaki, and say that we will work hard and prove that we are not intellectually inferior to upper caste. And we don't want any reservations. We will prove it on merit that we are not inferior to upper caste. This should be your approach, a manly approach. Not this that We want reservation. We want crutches permanently to make, keep us walking. Then, such caste reservations are serving the policy of divine and rule of the political rulers, as they create animosities between SCs and OBCs on the one hand and upper caste on the other hand. The need of the hour in India is that the people must be united, not divided. Because unless we are united, we cannot launch a mighty historical struggle for creating a better political and social order. We must be united. But reservations divide us. For example, an upper caste boy who gets, say, 80% is not given admission or a job, whereas a Dalit who has got only 40% may be given admission or a job. Now, will that upper caste boy not have a grievance, have a heart burning that I got 80% marks and I have not been given admission or a job? And this other boy, just because he's Dalit, even with 40%, he's been given admission or a job. So is that not dividing the people of India? When the need of the hour is that we must be united. So this serves the purposes of the ruling class, the ruling political class. They polarize society for their vote banks. It is serving their purpose, not the purpose, not benefiting the Dalits or OBCs. And the scheduled caste must realize that they cannot get improvement in their lives unless they unite with the enlightened section of the upper caste, like a person like me. I'm technically a Brahmin, but I'm totally opposed to the caste system. So scheduled caste should unite with the enlightened section of the upper caste in launching a united struggle for building a political and social order in which everybody gets good, decent lives. These caste reservations keeps scheduled caste isolated and away from other castes, the upper caste. So that way also that harms the entire Indian nation, including the scheduled caste. In fact, these caste reservations are used just as in vote bank politics. It is not for benefiting the scheduled caste or OBCs, but for befooling them into thinking that they are being benefited, and therefore this kind of reservation is nothing but a fraud. And SCs and OBCs should themselves demand end of reservation if they understand what I have said. See, today it is not just Hindus who are divided on caste basis. Muslims are also divided on caste basis. For example, there's upper caste Muslims who are called Ashrafs, Sayyid, Sheikh, Pathan, Mughal. They are Ashrafs. The intermediate caste, like the OBC and Hindus, they are called Ajlaf, Siddiqui, Qureshi, Ansari. Ansaris are the weavers. Qureshi are the butchers. Siddiqui are the, low-level clerks, depending on the vocation. And lowest among Muslims are called Arzal, Lal Begi and Dhobi, I don't know all that. They will not marry each other. There's very rigid caste system among Muslims. Although, theoretically, Islam is against caste. Prophet Muhammad said that all are equal. That is why I admire Prophet Muhammad. But these Muslims of most of India, they follow the caste system. So they are not real Muslims, they are fake Muslims. I tell them on their face, I am a Muslim because I believe everybody is equal. You call yourself Muslim, but you are fake Muslims. Similarly, I tell to many Sikhs, I went to California a couple of years back. And in California, I was invited by some Sikh people to address the Sikh community in a Gurdwara, in a place called Milpitas. And I said, look, I will come on one condition, that you will permit me to speak my mind, whatever is my mind. They said, yes, you please do that. So I went there to that Gurdwara in California. There was a huge gathering of 300-400 Sikhs there, old, young. Well, in my speech, I told them, you can see in my speech in YouTube, I said, you Sikh people have one very great quality, and that is the spirit of service in your community. Whenever any calamity, any catastrophe, any great tragedy occurs, floods or an accident, train accident, the young Sikh boys are the first to rush to help. And that is because of the spirit of service, seva, in the Sikh people, which was taught by the great Guru Nanak. I have hardly come across any community in the world with this spirit of service, which is in the Sikh community. Having said that, I said, now I must tell you what is wrong with you also, the great defect in you. I said, the defect is you follow the caste system. When Guru Nanak said that all are equal. You see, Sikhism arose as a revolt against the inhuman caste system. Guru Nanak said that all are equal. That is why I am an admirer of Guru Nanak. But you people follow the caste system. The dominant group among Sikhs are the Jat Sikhs. I think about 50% Sikhs are Jat Sikhs. And they are rich landholders and rich businessmen. Whereas about 25-30% Sikhs are what are called Mazhabi Sikh, Dalits. Dalit converts, they are called Mazhabi Sikh. But the Jat Sikh look down on the Dalit Sikh, will never marry with them. Look down on them. In fact, you know, in the Indian Army, there are two regiments. One is called the Sikh Infantry. Sikh Regiment has Jat Sikhs. And there's another regiment called Sikh Light Infantry, which has Dalit or Mazhabi Sikhs. Even today, in fact, I spoke to Lieutenant General Palang, who was a Northern Army commander. I said, you, this was created by the British time, two different units for the same community, that is Sikh. Why did you not get it abolished? Well, he said this, that. So this continues even today. I said to those people, 300-400 Sikhs gathered in that Gurdwara in California. I said, you have a pagri and you have a beard, but you are no Sikh. You are fake Sikhs. I don't have a pagri, I don't have a beard. But I am a real Sikh because I am a follower of Guru Nanak. That all are equal. When I said that, there was a big hue and cry among the elderly Sikhs. They rose up and said, what are you saying? Very wrong thing you say. But then some young Sikh, young men, 20-25 year old, they rose up and said that what Justice Kadu is saying is true. It's correct. We have this defect in our community. They supported me. I said, I'm not trying to run you down. I'm just stating facts. I praise your great quality also. But this is the truth, that you follow the caste system. So, now, how is the caste system going to be destroyed? I've written many articles on this. You can see on Google. It can be destroyed, firstly, only if we start a united people's historical struggle for creating a political and social order under which there's rapid industrialization so that everybody gets a high standard of living and decent lives. And this struggle must be led by modern-minded people who are above caste and religion. And secondly, it is industrialization which destroys the caste system. That is why relatively there is much less casteism in, say, West Bengal than in UP or Bihar. because a certain degree of industrialization took place. Because when, you see, when there's industrialization, what happens is, in feudal times, human groupings were small and scattered over large agricultural areas. Whereas when industrialization process takes place, what happens is that human groupings are concentrated in cities, in factories, establishments, offices and so on. So humans come closer together. Physically, they come close together. And when you come close together, you get to know that a person of another religion or caste is not the devil which he was painted to be. So that removes many backward prejudices. So industrialization helps in destroying casteism. I am totally against caste. It is a curse on our society. And that is why I am no supporter of parliamentary democracy. Because parliamentary democracy runs on the basis of caste and communal vote banks. I am totally opposed to parliamentary democracy. I am totally opposed to caste reservations. They are not benefiting, rather they are harming the Dalits and backward caste by creating illusions in them and by isolating them from upper caste, etc. It's doing great damage to the SCs and OBC. In fact, you know, I was invited to Jalandhar by a Dalit organization a few years back. Very big organization. It has branches all over Punjab and other states also. But I think headquarters is in Jalandhar. And I think in Punjab about 25% population are Dalits. 25% at least of the Sikh population. They telephoned me from their, one of the office bearers of that Sikh, that Dalit organization. That sir, please come and address us in a huge gathering of thousands of Dalits. I said, I will come on the condition that I will be allowed to speak whatever is in my mind. So that gentleman said, let me please first consult my committee. I said, okay. So then he telephoned again and said that I have consulted my committee. They are agreeable. You can say whatever you like. So they sent me the air ticket and all. I went there to Jalandhar. And when I reached my hotel, a large group of these Dalits, 15-20 of them came to meet me and said, sir, please don't speak against the reservations. I said, look, I had told you from Delhi that I will come only on the condition that you will permit me to speak whatever is my mind. And now you are placing conditions and restrictions. This I will not accept. I'll go back if you put this. You had agreed that I'll have the freedom to speak whatever is my mind. So they said, okay, sir, please come. So I went to that venue of that function. They were 4,000-5,000 people, huge gathering, huge pandals. I think 90% people there were Dalits. And among the things I said in my speech, I think you may find it in YouTube. I said, you Dalits should demand abolition of reservation. It is harming you, it is befooling you. And then I told them whatever I just now stated. I explained to them how it is harming, this caste-based reservation is harming Dalits rather than benefiting them. So when I said all this, they were stunned. Then there was an uproar against me. But I said, look, I was allowed to speak my mind. You need not agree with me, but this is what I genuinely believe. So I'm the greatest sympathizer of the Dalits. They have been treated inhumanly for centuries. And I have great sympathy. I want to help them. But they must know the truth and not be befooled by these politicians who just want their votes. You know, I was invited to the Dehradun University. Now listen to this. to speak on the Constitution. This also you can see on YouTube. Just type Justice Kadu Dehradun and get it. There was a huge gathering, I think 400-500 people. There was a huge hall and all full. In fact, maybe 400 seats all full and about 200 people are standing. On the front row were these professors of Dehradun University. Second row, they were associate and assistant professors. And behind them, all students, boys, girls. Among the things I said, you see, I'm a very blunt person. I believe in saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, however much that hurts you. I will not say 2 plus 2 is equal to 5 to please you. I will keep saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. So, among the things I said in that youth gathering, I said these professors sitting in the front row, many of them have PhDs from Harvard or Yale in America or London School of Economics and wearing lovely suits and ties and lady professors wearing colorful sarees. Just now I will prove to you in 2 minutes that their heads are full of gobar, cow dung. I said, I will not take more than 2 minutes to prove it. Then I said, ask them if their daughter wants to marry a Dalit boy, will they give their consent? Not one will give consent. Many will get honor killing done of their daughter and that boy. This is the harsh reality. Now tell me, I'm not impressed by PhD from Harvard or Yale or London School of Economics. The point is, what do you have here in your head? Is it reason or is it gobar, cow dung? All these professors sit. I said, when I said this, you know, these students enjoy when their professors are being pulled down. So there was clapping, huge clapping. I said, see, I am speaking the harsh truth. This is your society. I said, this your degree is from Harvard or Yale or London or School of Economics does not impress me. When you are casteist, I was appointed as Chief Justice of Madras High Court. I'm originally from Allahabad. I was a judge in Allahabad, but then I was sent as Chief Justice of Madras High Court. One day, one judge of Madras High Court, he was a Dalit. He and his wife in the evening came to my residence just for a courtesy call on me and my wife. And his wife, that High Court judge, by the way, was a Dalit. His wife belonged to upper caste, either Brahmin or something. And his wife told my wife that when we married, we had a love marriage 25, 30 years ago. And when we got married, my relatives, including my parents, performed my funeral rites that I am dead for them. And for 25, 30 years, they have had no contact with me. Once I saw my grandfather in some shopping mall or something, I ran to touch his feet, but when he saw me, he turned his face away and walked out. This is your country even today. So many communities, the Jat community, if a Jat girl wants to marry a Dalit boy, a Muslim boy, she is inviting a death sentence, both for herself and that young boy. In Tamil Nadu, so many universities, you can see on Google, if a Dalit boy marries a non-Dalit girl, often both are killed. This is your society, how backward your society is. So, we have to, how will this be abolished? It can't be by parliamentary elections, because parliamentary elections, in fact, further entrenches casteism because it runs on the basis of caste and religious vote banks. It can only be abolished by some kind of people's revolution, which is going to take time. It is when it will happen, who will be the leaders, how long it will take, I cannot say. But it's certainly this transformation from feudal society to a modern society will not be easy. It will take time. And there have to be patriotic and modern-minded people to lead this historical struggle, the people's struggle, which is united, which rises above caste and religion. But that is the only way out. Otherwise, the caste system, which has continued for centuries or other, maybe thousands of years, will not be easily abolished. You know, I went to America. Let me tell you, in California, even there, there's these Indians who migrate there, become citizens, U.S. citizens, permanent resident, they carry their caste baggage. I was told that there was a cricket match between two communities of Andhra Pradesh. One is known as Kammas, the other are known as Reddies. So it's a separate organization. Kammas have an caste organization. Kammas have an organization called North America Telugu Association, NATA. And the Reddies have an organization called TANA, Telugu Association of North India. Different caste organizations in USA. You are sitting in a modern country and you have separate caste organizations. And this cricket match took place, and in the middle of the match, there was a physical fight between Kammas and Reddies. And the match had to be called off. This is your Indian even living in America. Some laws have, I believe, in California have been passed against caste discrimination. I wrote an article that all these laws will remain on paper. Even in America, the caste system will continue because these people from India have taken their caste baggage to America. They have a Brahmins organization in USA. They have Baniya organization, Vaishya's organization in USA, sitting in a modern country. But yet, you could not get off your caste baggage. It is only when casteism is destroyed in India that it will be also destroyed among the NRIs in America and other places in the world. So, it's a long struggle, but I'm very clear in my mind that casteism is a curse on our society, and the sooner it is destroyed, is better. But it will take a long time and a long struggle to achieve that. Thank you.